Today on the Travel Guys.
You're over there babbling. I didn't know if this was going to happen or not. In the travel news, Southwest Airlines raises the price of jumping to the front of the line. Speaking of higher prices, the price of being a kid just went up again at Disneyland. And the Waldorf Astoria in New York City, Tom?
Yes?
Is now owned by the Chinese government. Details in the travel news.
At 3:20, in the part of our show where we make you a smarter traveler, but I thought that was always, but I guess it's only that part. I'll share some recent first-person experiences, and Mark talks about the seller of travel law and why it matters to you.
We want to know what you think, and in Travel Guys tradition, we have a prize, a $100 Ruth Chris gift card to the person who calls in after 3:35. We're looking for people who regularly use ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft. Prizes, ride sharing, 3:35. More to follow.
Gwen Duncan's here to talk about cruises on the rivers of Europe at 3:50. She's recently taken three. Am I jealous?
Yeah.
And she shares her experiences with us.
We have news. We have information. We have prizes. We have Gwen Duncan. Why would you even think of tuning elsewhere or going into the grocery store? Don't touch that dial or that doorknob. It's time for the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
But I was born in heaven, man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on.
With the show.
Here we are once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a fabulous Sunday afternoon, and we're here to make you a smarter traveler. By the way, go to travelguysradio.com. Links to a lot of the stuff that we talk about will be there. Some pictures and all kinds of cool travel stuff. In fact, we're going to talk about a very popular series of photos that are on the Travel Guys website at the moment in just a bit.
Oh, we are? Okay.
Well, you told me about it, the Clayton thing.
Oh, no, those are on the Sports Leisure Vacations Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Well, but I'm glad you brought up the website, because there is something important that people will want to see there. Believe it or not, there is a video of a passenger drying her underwear on the air vent above her seat.
Oh, I'm logging in
you,
now.
You almost couldn't. You can't make this stuff up.
TravelGuysRadio.com.
Yeah. Okay. She just, and obviously somebody had to record this, so she's got, and it's, you know, but don't, probably small children shouldn't watch
passenger
this.
Dries underwear under air vent above her seat.
Yeah, that's exactly what I just said just a moment ago.
Hey, did you ever throw your neck out pulling weeds?
Did you?
Luis, our producer, director, and runner of the console there, came in, and Luis was not sitting in his normal tall chair. He was sitting
in the little kid's chair. Yeah,
the really low chair, and he had this kind of stiff kind of demeanor about him. And anyway, he's going to suffer through. So anybody that's ever, you know, pulled weeds, it could turn out badly for you.
The moral to that story is you have to be careful about that domestic stuff, you know, because sometimes it'll just get you into a horrible way. We need to get on with the travel news probably here.
Okay,
at some point.
Lots to get done. All right. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And actually, I just sit and watch, and Mark does the heavy lifting. What do you got for us?
Well, I thought it's some pretty cool stuff here today. The first one is really interesting. The Waldorf Astoria is now controlled by the Chinese government. A big Chinese insurance company bought a number of iconic U.S. hotels, among them the Waldorf Astoria and our very own Hotel Del Coronado here in California. And now the insurance company has run afoul of the Chinese government in a variety of different ways. And so the government now has taken over the assets of this company. In essence, the Chinese government is now in charge. The Waldorf Astoria in New York has been closed for a couple of years to a complete renovation. It was bought by this company, and they paid an astronomical amount of money for it, more than it's probably worth. Same thing for the Hotel Del. And so we'll see what happens here. But apparently the Chinese government is in charge of some iconic U.S. hotels. Which U.S. airport has the most flight cancellations? Which one do you think it might be?
Wow. Most flight cancellations, huh? LaGuardia?
Yeah. Boy, that's pretty good. That's an excellent guess. Yes, LaGuardia is number one. Actually, they're a little bit skewed because, of course, Houston came in really high last year because of the hurricane, because they had so many cancellations for a period of time. Atlanta had that big power outage that wiped out flights for almost an entire day. So the numbers are a little bit skewed this year.
Well, LaGuardia has probably more flights, period, than just about anybody.
And this is by percentage.
Okay.
So LaGuardia, over 3% of their flights were canceled. So your chances are 3 in 100 if you have a flight at LaGuardia that it's not going. Of course, it depends on, you know, the flights from LaGuardia, you know, the flights from Sacramento to San Francisco, for example. Now United's put a big plane on in the morning, so that's very dependable. But the other ones during the day are little puddle jumpers, and sometimes they run and sometimes they don't. And so LaGuardia has those kinds of flights, too. So if you're getting out of LaGuardia on a plane that's got 40 or 50 seats on it, you will be the first flight to be canceled when things go bad there at LaGuardia, which happens kind of often. Norwegian has shortened two Pride of America Hawaii cruises in early March. So if you are on a cruise to Hawaii, you probably already know about this now. But if you don't, you're going on a cruise to Hawaii in early March, your cruise has been shortened by a day. Call your cruise line for details.
Well, does that mean that if you're cruising to Hawaii, they're just going to stop a few hundred miles before they get there?
No, Tom. This is a cruise ship that you get when you're already in Hawaii.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But people do cruise to Hawaii.
They do. That's very true.
Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just go to Hawaii and do it? Party.
Airlines, hotels, and car rental places are severing their ties with the National Rifle Association. This has been kind of interesting to watch this week as the airlines and hotels and auto rental companies have basically all bailed. They have bailed on discounts that they offer to NRA members. So they're no longer going to offer those discounts in many cases. So we'll keep an eye on that and see if it spreads to other places. Southwest is raising the price of getting on the plane early. Now, you can buy that ahead of time online. What is it, $12.50 a direction or something?
Yeah,
like that?
It's $25 for a round trip for one seat.
So if you wait, that hasn't changed in price. But if you wait until you get to the airport to buy into the one to 15, you know, you've got a crummy middle seat and you're C27. So you know you're going to be in a middle seat on a 5-hour flight to Baltimore. And you say, you know, I'll buy up to the front, and that way I can get an aisle seat, be a little more comfortable. So that's what's going to cost a little more money. They are raising the price of those, and it's going to be done a little bit differently by the length of the flight. So you're going to pay that nonstop to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Moving up will probably cost you $50, whereas to fly down to Burbank might only cost you $30.
But early boarding on Southwest, first of all, you have to, all the business class,
That's what you're boosting into.
Oh, you're
buying the gate.
You're not buying into the, you know, just early seating, which comes after those people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're actually buying up it. It arguably, if you are stuck with a bad boarding number and it's a flight of more than a couple hours, I can't imagine why somebody wouldn't do that. I mean, between you and I and the fence post, United Airlines is getting $50, $60 for Economy Plus from here to Denver, and another $75 to get to the East Coast. So you're
saying that the paying extra at the last minute,
early boarding, if it's available. You don't know that it'll be available because it's only those 15 business class seats on Southwest.
I see. So those are the ones that we're talking about.
That's right.
They'll probably all be gone.
Yeah, but if there's one or two of them available and you've got a crummy boarding number, why then that's something to think about. United is now selling Wi-Fi subscriptions. So the joy of this is that instead of buying their crummy Wi-Fi service one flight at a time, you can buy their crummy Wi-Fi service and pay more money for it on a monthly basis.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
Speaking of your wallet, it's going to be more expensive to get into Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom. You're a Magic Kingdom fan.
Yeah, dynamic pricing, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, they already have dynamic pricing. They have low demand and regular demand and high demand.
This is different?
This is different because they've already split that up. This is, for example, regular demand prices for adults go up $4, and peak demand, the increase was $5, and low demand, it rose $2. So it's well over $100 now to spend a day at Disneyland or the Magic Kingdom. Caesar's Palace has added their name to the list of hotels that are now doing daily room checks. You know, after since the shooting, the mass shooting in Las Vegas, many of the hotel chains have announced that just putting a do not disturb sign on the door is not necessarily going to keep them out of the room. So Caesars says that they're replacing their do not disturb with room occupied. And you can expect Caesars staff to come in once a day. And so that's going to be kind of awkward. The housekeepers were going to have to do it, but they balked. So now security is going to do it, which is probably a better idea anyway. But, you know, what if you got in late? You got in at one, you gambled late. You got in on a late flight. It's Las Vegas. You went to sleep at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm guessing a lot of people do that. So when is that security check going to take place? And, you know, will you even be awake? And if your door is locked and, you know, it's bolted, why then they'll have to get you out of bed in order to, I think it's a good idea, but I'm just wondering how it's all going to work.
We'll investigate that. I'll give that a try. I'll make that my mission.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The
booking my Vegas flight right
Mariposa
now.
Mariposa Grove of Giant Sequoias in Yosemite National Park that is due to open sometime this spring. Now, word is it will open in June. They had hoped for sometime in April or May, but the Mariposa Grove has been closed down for 3 years while they did some things to protect the giant sequoia trees there, which are being really impacted by climate change. And let's see, what else here? A guy got attacked by a bison on Catalina Island, believe it or not. He says he didn't do anything. But the people on Catalina, the authorities there say, well, our bison don't just, you know, attack people. You must have done something. And a handful of large airlines are inching towards dynamic fare pricing models. You know how we've talked about you go online and the fare seems to change. You look at it once, you go back, it seems to be perhaps higher. The airlines now are talking about a dynamic pricing model that's similar to what concert tickets and hotel rooms and stuff are sold for. In other words, if they know that you like that nonstop flight to Dulles Airport every morning, why, then you go once a week, you might see a fare that's $30 or $40 higher than somebody else's fare. And is that fair?
No, it should be the other way around. If you fly regularly, generally you get discounts for stuff.
You would think. Anyway, dynamic pricing. We will keep an eye on that one, and that is your travel news for today.
Coming up next here on The Travel Guys with Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, we're going to talk about, how to make you a smarter traveler. It's one of the things we always feature around the 320 break. Mark's got some information on Seller of Travel Law and why it matters to you. And then I'm going to share some information about, flying out of Sacramento and also some tips on good things to do in San Antonio. That's next.
Oh, it's a crazy world. I don't know about you.
Country roads take me home.
Back again, Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys on KFBK. Hope you're doing well. Again, visit travelguysradio.com. Watch the video of the woman drying her underwear on the air vents above her head.
And
on,
you said,
I don't know what.
You said, I think that's her daughter, her kid's underwear.
Right at first, but the.
But when you look at it, the leg holes are too large for those to be children's underwear. This lady is drying her underwear.
Well,
now, it might not be the underwear she was wearing when she got on the plane, but you got to admit it's a little weird.
Yeah, you go.
And especially if you're, you know, in a row ahead or behind her, you're thinking, well, you know, I mean, she's drying her underwear. I mean, is anything coming off of the underwear?
They look like they were, whatever.
Well, they look like they're in good shape.
That's the fun thing about travel, Mark, and you probably know better than anybody. The unusual things that occur, the things you see.
Fun thing about the travel guys is that you can hear about people drying their underwear on the airplane.
There you go.
And they just go on and on. Anyway, that's a travel guy. If you just tuned in, we're talking about a video that's at travelguysradio.com about a passenger drying her underwear on the plane. You went to San Antonio.
Yes, this is year three. We go to San Antonio in February, usually middle of February.
Uh-huh.
It's during what is known as rodeo time. It's the world's largest indoor rodeo in the world.
And you had you ate in a pretty cool place that you wanted to kind of
when we
shoot.
Go to San Antonio as a regular basis, at least for the last few years, we go to a Brazilian steakhouse. It's Chama Chamaguccia, Chamaguccha.
Oh, that's easy to remember.
You can look it up online. It is an all-you-can-eat, world's greatest salad bar. It's a white tablecloth, nicely dressed waiters. I mean, the napkin on your lap. They bring over this... this little coat rack that they put by the table, you can put bang
these
your purse
South American
on it.
Steakhouses have become quite popular around the country.
Well, I've eaten at a few, and this is by far, in my opinion, the one of the best I've ever experienced.
So about $50 or so for dinner?
It's about $50, yeah, and that would include, of course, all you can eat and your salad. It's worth every penny.
And all kinds of different meats carved at your table. And yeah, they're a lot of fun. There's one, at least in Sacramento, Texas Day Brazil, which is a well-known chain. Now, is this one you're talking about? Is it a chain or is it just in San Antonio?
It is not. In fact, there are others in San Antonio. This is a standalone, family-owned, and
what's the name again?
Chamaguccha.
Ah,
Chamaguccha.
Okay.
And something else to do, you know, of course, we went for the rodeo.
Right.
And I recommend that if you haven't been to a real, genuine Texas rodeo, this is the one to go to. Because not only does it include the rodeo, it also includes a complete livestock show. The rodeo and the show is there to support the FFA and the 4-H in a big time way. A lot of money goes back into those programs. And so they have literally almost every night for 3 weeks, they do a rodeo. Where full-fledged, you've got every possible type of a rodeo event, and then it's followed by a concert, and always a name act. We saw Brad Paisley after we saw an hour and a half of rodeo.
And you found a dance hall, an attraction place that you wanted to
share. Yes, my daughter had discovered this, being in San Antonio, about 40 miles out in the hill country, which is somewhat northeast of San Antonio, not too far from, I think it's called... Brahmsville. There is a hall.
New Brahmsville. Yes.
There's a hall there called, it looks like Gruen, G-R-E-U-N-E, but it's pronounced Green. Green Hall. It's the Texas's oldest dance hall. And the interesting thing about it is that a lot of famous people, including, you know, Leanne Rimes was playing there the night we were there. Just about anybody who's anybody will make a stop at this little tiny dance hall. It's not very large, probably only holds a couple hundred people. But boy, is it classic and special, and the whole town is. So about 40 miles out of San Antonio, ask around, you'll be able to find it easy.
So you flew on Southwest.
Yep.
So we got about a minute here. You wanted to share a couple things. You had a unique situation that some folks might encounter.
We were boarding the plane headed in through Vegas to San Antonio. We were just getting on the plane. About a third of the people were on board when they announced that the flight wasn't going to be able to land in Vegas because of a low ceiling. And you had an option of either staying on the plane or getting off. And we had a short turnaround in Vegas to begin with. We're concerned about making our connection. They announced that we will let you know if you're not going to make your connection. Well, a lot of people rushed the counter and tried to make other arrangements and got on their phone and were trying to figure out how that they could circumvent this, when in reality, I discovered the best thing to do is be patient and wait. Whatever information you're going to get at the counter, they're going to announce to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So be patient, wait. You'll find out if, for any reason, they're not going to get you to your connecting flight. They'll change it for you. But if there's 30 minutes, if they can get you there 30 minutes before your connection, then you're good to go.
Which, if you get to Las Vegas and you have 30 minutes when your plane pulls up to the gate and takes you another 5 minutes to get off the aircraft, and they're going to close the door 10 minutes before departure, your 30 minutes is now down to 15.
Wear your best running shoes when you fly.
Well, that might be the best piece of information that you have to share through the whole thing, is that when you're traveling, anticipate the fact that you might get to a big airport and have to go a great distance in a short period of time. And no matter if you had a two-hour layover, you might get there and it's 22 minutes, and the only way you make it is if you can haul your butt down there pretty quickly. So that's, you know, not a bad piece of information. We told folks we were going to talk about the seller of travel law, which probably sounds boring as all get out. But here's the reason it's important to you. And that is because that is how people who sell travel to people in California get registered. It's a law that came about a quarter of a century ago. It's a very good law. You know, sometimes government regulation isn't a good thing, but this one did exactly what it was supposed to do. I was very against it when it came out, but it's done so well, I'm very much a fan of it now. So, and the reason this is interesting is because last couple weeks, we were contacted by a guy who was offering these tours of the American West. And they're escorted tours, and one's in the Southwest and one's in the Northwest. And they looked pretty good. And so I thought, well, I'd put him on the air and let him talk about it. And as we got closer to the interview time, I said, well, do you have a seller of travel law for the state of California, seller of travel number?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And I explained to him what it was. And he looked into getting one and came back and said, well, you know, that's an awful lot of trouble. And I don't see why they would make me do that and jump through all these hoops and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, I can't put you on the air if you don't have a seller of travel number for California. And so he got kind of upset, and he didn't. And I thought this was worthy of mentioning to folks here, because if you're about to buy travel from someone and you're a resident of the state of California, they should have a seller of travel law number. It usually says CST number.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows that they have registered with the state of California. If they don't have a seller of travel number, that means that you are taking a heck of a risk by buying that travel. If anything goes wrong, you're not protected by the laws that protect other people in California. If that person doesn't have that seller of travel number, your life gets a lot more. So look for that. If you live in California, look for that number in ads. If you're buying from a cruise line, they have a California seller of travel number, and that may not be in their ad, but they can produce it when they need to. And in this case, we didn't put this gentleman on the air because his product really can't be sold to people in the state of California. And the reason that law is there is to protect those of us who live in California from people who, you know, the shysters who call you up on the phone, and God, there's a tremendous number of them all of a sudden, selling you a timeshare presentation or a free vacation or a free cruise. A lot of those people used to be headquartered in the state of California. None of them are headquartered in California now, because if they were, the law would come after them fairly quickly. So what we've done is we haven't eliminated the problem, but we've at least kicked them out of the state of California, because now there are repercussions for doing business that way. So look for the California seller of travel number when you're buying travel, or at least ask for it, particularly if you're doing business with a company that you haven't heard of before, because that's something that protects people who buy travel in California. See, it was kind of boring, but
That's fascinating information. I'm sure that people got some value out of that. And if speaking of value, what do we have coming up after the news?
Well, we need some folks to give us a phone call at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. Only if you are people who use Uber and Lyft. We're looking for some folks who use those rideshare services. We have a $100 Ruth Griffiths card for our best contributor in the next segment. 921-1530, 800-834-1530.
All righty. Follow along, by the way, at travelguysradio.com. That's our website. And that's where we have links to pretty much everything we talk about. We'll be back. More on the Travel Guys coming up after we find out what the world's going on. And the sky is gray.
The sky isn't gray. It's going to be, though, tomorrow. It's going to rain tomorrow.
You big Mamas and Papas fan?
I am. I am. Peter, Paul, and Mary, Mamas and Papas, Arlo Guthrie.
We're all folk guys, aren't we?
Yeah, we were just talking about Don McLean earlier.
Yes.
You know, the old American Pie guy. Look at here. I've got a $100 Ruth Chris gift card.
Wow, that's awesome.
And in the next 10 minutes, we're going to award this to one of our listeners. It has to be a listener. We're looking for callers. We've got a few on the line, and we have one line open at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. We're looking for people specifically now. Please don't call unless you use ride-sharing services on a regular basis. We were talking about Uber and Lyft, but if you use a different one, why then we would love to know about that too. And the person who has the best contribution in the next 10 minutes will win this $100 Ruth Chris gift card, which might not buy you a fancy dinner for two. It would buy you a fancy dinner for one. It would get you started on a fancy dinner for two.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we have any of those fancy rules that if you won in the last 30 seconds or anything, you can't
play? If you've won a prize
again
from the Travel Guys in the last 60 days, you 60 are not
days,
eligible.
So.
Also, we should tell people that anytime you win a prize on Travel Guys, the
yes.
Travel Guys show, that it
yes.
comes from the Travel Guys
yes,
and not
does.
From KFBK. So
do
if
not,
you ever have any question
yes.
about your prize, contact the Travel Guys.
Yes, do not come to the station
no.
and ask Janelle out front. She will not know what you're talking
she
about.
She won't, and she won't have your prize, and
no.
you will have come, and then everybody
Mark,
will be confused.
Mark and Tom get in trouble when they call me and say, well,
yeah.
what did you guys do now?
Yep, and it's happened two or three times recently. So anyway, your prizes come from the Travel Guys. Here we go. Kim in Rancho Cordova is on the line. Hi, Kim. Welcome to Travel Guys.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, it's nice to have you here. We are doing pretty good by most measures. So, are you a rideshare person?
Yes, I am. I use Uber.
You use Uber. So, do you have is there a reason that you choose Uber over Lyft?
I am just comfortable with it. I had a friend that taught me how to use it, and mm-hmm. so every time I've needed it, I've always gone with Uber. So I haven't ventured into the waters yet with Lyft.
So one of the differences between Uber and Lyft is the fact that for a long time, you could tip Lyft drivers, but not Uber drivers. So you say you're an Uber traveler. Do you generally tip the driver after your ride?
I do. And I always tip drivers before Uber rolled out the online tipping. I just, you know, I was raised that way if they provide good service. So I would always give the Uber driver just a couple bucks. And sometimes they would say, no, you know, I'm not supposed to take it. And other times they would accept it and thank me for it. But I do appreciate the fact that they've added it now to their app so that you can do it online. And yes, I always tip.
It was interesting early on when I would ride with Uber and you would bring up the tip. They would remind you that, well, we're not really supposed to. But if you happen to drop money on
right.
the floorboard of the car
exactly.
or something, and we can't do anything about that.
Do you find, Kim, what's the best thing about rideshare services to you?
I feel much safer in an Uber than I do in a taxi. Years ago, I was in San Francisco riding in a taxi, and the taxi had to pull off to the side of the road. And the driver said, oh, excuse me, I need to get my seizure medication out of the trunk. I've never had that with Uber. People are driving their own cars. Everybody I've ever encountered is very professional. And like I said, I feel very, very safe. You know, sometimes people say, gosh, you know, you're getting in the car with a stranger. But I do the same if I take a taxi.
Right.
I don't know that person either.
Yeah.
So to Kim, the best part of she feels safe. She feels safer in a rideshare than she does in a taxi. Don in Gold River, welcome to the Travel Guys. Uber or Lyft, Don?
I've used both. I have more experience with Lyft than I do with Uber, but I have interesting stories on both, and I'll try. I can be fast if you want me to tell both, or do you
sure.
want me to pick one?
Go for it.
Well, I would say with Lyft, I like the app a little better, a little easier to use. You see the photo. They're doing a little light bar thing that you can see the car, but I found it to work very well. We live in Gold River, which is in eastern part of Sacramento County, and I once used it to go down to the Capital Mall Brewfest. From there, then to go to the races at Sacramento Raceway, which is rural Sacramento County, and then back to our home because my wife said she wasn't going to drive me to all those places on her own. My Uber story is interesting in that I went to a science meeting in San Antonio and with my wife, and six of my colleagues were there and said, well, let's go to this barbecue place, but it's way outside of town.
Rudy's.
In San Antonio. Gosh, no, it was a different one.
Oh,
but at least
okay.
15 miles. Well, they took their rental car out first. We were able to get a Lyft ride there, had dinner with them, but then after that, we could not get Uber service back. I should say I've always been satisfied with Uber. I'm not saying anything negative. So eight of us got into a medium-sized rental car. My wife couldn't move her foot at all because it was jammed against the door, and multiple people sat in multiple laps.
Wow.
And it was pretty entertaining. But we did make it back.
Only in Texas.
So, Don, when people do rideshare, should they be tipping the driver?
I always have with Lyft. It seems the app is a little easier to use. I've noticed lately that Uber is updating their app fairly often, and so I try to keep up on it. Where I've used Lyft most has been in and around Sacramento and Citrus Heights and probably Rancho Cordova, and the app just seems a little easier to use on Lyft as compared to Uber.
And which do you prefer? Which ride service would you take all things being equal?
Presently, I would take Lyft. And also, we have a relative who has eye problems, and she's found it, you know, she doesn't like to drive late in the afternoon when the sun goes down. So having a ride-sharing business is on, and you can just access it on your phone, is just so helpful. It's one of these great aspects of technology that helps with mobility.
Don, thanks for the Uber and the Lyft stories. Let's go to Annie in Auburn. Annie, Uber or Lyft?
Hey, I've used both, but I actually think I prefer Lyft.
Okay, and why?
Well, I just find that it was easier to use and I got a quicker response. I use both of them, though. If need be, I'll use either one. But I use it, actually, and my sister have used it because we have elderly mother and my elderly mother-in-law, and we have used them to pick them up at our house.
Yep.
And give them a ride to the senior citizen center. So that has been huge.
I am hearing more and more stories of older folks who are using it to get to and from doctor's appointments and activities and things like that, because if you've gotten older and you've lost your license or your ability to drive, or you're just not comfortable driving, this is a way for folks. And oftentimes they need rides in the middle part of the day, which are never peak periods. So they're always getting the ride share for a fairly inexpensive rate, comparatively speaking. Annie, are you a tipper to your rideshare drivers?
Yes, I am.
So do you tip them?
I tip them.
Do you tip them as much as you would tip a taxi driver?
Gosh, you know what? Honestly, I haven't used that many taxis. I usually just tip them $5, you know?
Uh-huh.
And not a lot, but, you know, I appreciate them, you know, taking care of the seniors for us when it's the middle of the day and we're at work or something.
Have you ever had an Uber or a Lyft driver that you weren't happy with and you didn't tip?
No, I haven't personally. I also use Turo. I don't know if you've heard of Turo.
I have.
Yeah, that's kind of a little bit different, ride sharing. But I mean, that's been kind of a great thing for us for vacations. If we didn't want to rent a car for the entire week, you just call up Turo and.
It's a car. Turo is a car ride-sharing service. Exactly. So Annie is quite a ride-share. All right, let's get one more here. Nancy in El Dorado Hills, Uber or Lyft?
I've used both. Probably prefer Lyft. I also really like to be able to review the driver. So that's been a great help to see what kind of record they have. My one little tip was that we've used Uber and Lyft when we've been on vacation, and one of the best places we used it was when we were at Disneyland. So it was wonderful. Early in the morning, we were dropped off right by the happiest place on earth. Early in the morning, didn't have to park the car, didn't have to walk to the tram, and then late at night when we're exhausted, just picked us up right at the same place and took us home, which was fabulous when we were exhausted.
Do you have a preference between the two ride-sharing services?
You know, it's really a matter of which one is available and can pick us up the quickest. So we've used both, but Lyft's been pretty consistently the best.
So if you were in a city where both services were offered, you'd hit the Lyft button first.
Yes. Easier to use.
Isn't it interesting, Tom? Nobody has mentioned the fact that, now see, I'm a Lyft guy, but I'm kind of a Lyft guy just because the Uber guy was such a idiot, this CEO for so long, that and his own people didn't really like him. So I'm like, you know, why would I give him my business?
You have a political reason why you don't like
him. Well, it's a personal kind of political reason.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anything else, Nancy, that you would like to share about your ride-sharing experiences?
Oh, just some of the drivers are really interesting characters, and some are better than others, and so it's kind of a fun thing to do.
Are you a person who has ridden in a taxi cab frequently?
I have ridden in a taxi cab in New York. Not frequently, but I have a little bit.
Do you think ride sharing is a better way to go?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And there you go. Nancy says that ride sharing is a better way to go. So now we have to pick a winner here of our four people. So you got his vote there from the other side of the room. From Luis has told us. Okay, and we got it. Okay, it looks like Annie in Auburn is the winner of our $100 Ruth Chris gift card.
Woo!
So, Annie, hang on the line here, and Luis will get some information from you. Thanks to all of you for being a part of our segment and for being Travel Guys listeners. When we come back, Gwen Duncan is going to join us, and we were going to talk about river cruising in Europe. You're listening to The Travel Guys.
Well, look what you found. It's The Travel Guys, travel and entertainment. We are Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We're every Sunday from 3 to 4, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Our goal is to make you a smarter traveler. And one of our special guests, travel agent Gwen Duncan with Cordially Yours Travel, joins us pretty consistently here on The Travel Guys and always has great information. Welcome, Mark. Welcome, Gwen. We are The Travel Guys.
Gwen, you are a big fan of river cruising. You
Absolutely.
Obviously love river cruising.
Yes.
And so now, last year, you ended up doing three river cruises in
Yes,
Europe?
I did.
So tell us a little bit about where you went most recently, but then more importantly, were they on different cruise lines?
Yes, they were.
Oh, okay. So tell us where you went and give us an idea. Compare the three lines that you used last year.
Oh, this is going to be fun. The first one we did was in the spring, and that was on an Emerald waterway. And we went from Nice to Lyon. That ship is about the same price as all the main ones, like the Ama waterways and the Vikings and everything. It's about that same price point. It's contemporary. There's a lot of brass and glass and black and white with occasional turquoise in there. It's very ultra modern.
What was your favorite port of call on that itinerary?
I would say Arles or Avignon. That's what the itinerary was the southern France.
Right.
And there's a lot of history.
So did you go to Cannes?
It's near Nice, but
near
we
Nice.
Did not go there.
Okay.
On this one. I have been there.
Okay.
I've been there, but that wasn't on this one. But anyway, that ambiance is pretty nice. The pricing's nice. And the issue we had was we ended up stuck in Lyon because the water was either too high or too low, and we did busing from Lyon for part of that.
Vapors.
And then in September, we went on a scenic. And this one is an all-suite, all-butler.
Ooh.
Yes. And that one includes your alcohol and all that kind of stuff and your gratuities and everything. It was really nice. It's a sister company to the Emerald. But that's how it's a price point that's much higher.
Mm-hmm.
The ambience was about the same. The floor plans were about the same, real similar. We went from Paris to Normandy. And so we got to go and see where my dad jumped at Omaha Beach, which was nice. But we also had a problem there. The water was too rough because of those. Remember those in September, they had those hurricanes and stuff going on, or bad weather in Ireland. And
mm-hmm.
Well, it was affecting the waterways along the coast of France. And so we had to be bused to Normandy. So this is something that happens quite common with riverboats.
Right.
Okay.
So you indicated that happened twice to you. Was that... Did it detract a lot from your trip?
No.
I mean, did you feel
it didn't.
Did they
it
handle it well?
Really.
Are they on top of this now?
It didn't really. It was a little disappointing that we weren't going to take the boat all the way down there, but the bus trip wasn't that long and everything. I didn't think it was that bad at all. But then we took in October, we went on an Ama waterways.
Yes.
And we did a round trip Bordeaux.
And they have a pretty good reputation. So
they've got a very
work?
Good. And those, my feeling about it, I like all of them, but this particular one, the living room, I mean, the lounge is like an oversized living room, and it's got the furniture is soft, you know, and the coloring, it had a lot of wood and brass and stuff like that. It was a beautiful ship. And we got to go to French chateaus. It was a wine-themed cruise. We had a sommelier on there who did information about how you rate wines and stuff. It was really good. I love enrichment courses. and you get a lot of those on the river boats. And it was one absolutely wonderful. And the Amma Waterways is comparative to the Vikings out there. Keep my phones ringing, but they've got the same kind of ambience on their ships. And then there's Avalon is very similar to that, too. So a lot of them, there's some distinct differences about their personalities. Uniworld has a lot of French provincial light blues and white furniture and stuff like that. So it's a lot different.
Tom?
Gwen, we often talk about when you cruise, mostly ocean cruises that we've discussed this about, and that is the all-inclusive. You can buy the package that everything is included and so forth. When it comes to river cruising, give our listeners some tips to make them smarter travelers in regards to choosing either all-inclusive or a la carte.
Oh, that's a good question. The all-inclusive, there are certain ships, one of them is like the Scenic brand, the Crystal brand, the Talc brand. They have gratuities and your beverages are included. All the other ones they'll have, it's an add-on. You can buy a package. You can buy an upgraded package that includes port, which was what I did because I like port. or you can go without having the alcohol. Some of them will have promotions where they'll offer you a beverage package included during certain time, book buy periods. Mm-hmm. And then
as an incentive to
absolutely as an incentive. The biggest difference between the ones are some of them will have you can have alcohol at any time during the day. Mm-hmm. And some of them you can only have them through breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
So if you're a 24-hour lush, why then there's a certain line for you, and then there's now you've gone on three different cruises. You're a travel agent, so full disclosure, I suspect you didn't pay full fare.
Oh, that's true.
but one of the reasons that these people let you go at a reduced rate on their cruises is because they want you to come home, and they hope that you will then present them in a positive light. So now you've been on these three, two of them kind of affiliated, and Amma, who rises to the top?
Wow, that was, that is a matter of taste.
Uh-huh.
My personal taste is I love Amma Waterways, and I like the feel of it, the ambience whenever you're in there. I'm willing to pay for a beverage package if I can't get one. You did allude to the fact that we do get deals. Yeah, nothing is free.
Yeah.
But we're encouraged to come to these things because we need to experience it. So my job is to qualify my client to find out, the most people like to stay or visit or go on itineraries and things that make them feel like they're equal to or better than the home that they live in. So you don't want to put them in a real cheapo place.
Wow, that's a really interesting comment, because as you say that, and I reflect on even on land packages.
Yeah, hotels.
Well, sports people who travel, sports is your vacations. We're not Ritz-Carlton people, but we do enjoy the Marriott and the Sheraton. We enjoy a nice hotel. And so, yeah, you're right. People do like to stay in some place that, or on occasion, some place that reminds them of grandma's house or something.
That's right. Like, that's absolutely right. And so you have to really ask the people, you just come right out and ask them, are you comfortable in ultra modern? Do you like this? And then I can recommend something that they're going to feel good in. I felt good in all of them, but there's some that I feel better.
Thank you, Gwen, for this information, because really and truly what we've kind of come down to here is that when trying to compare river cruise lines is that it depends on the person.
That's right.
And so there's two things that come to mind here. First thing is do your homework. And second of all is have a travel professional who can assist you in making this reservation. It won't cost you any additional money. It
doesn't cost you anything more.
And somebody who, like yourself, now you've been on these cruises. So if someone asks you a specific question about beverage packages, add-ons, ports of call, what happens when you get bussed, you have all those experiences that you can call on to tell people. It doesn't mean that they'll have a perfect cruise, but it does mean the chances of them having a successful vacation that meets their expectations will be much higher.
That's right. That's right.
And it really points out, I think, the importance, do your homework, find yourself a travel professional. If you're going to pay thousands of dollars to travel, occasionally a travel professional will cost you a slight extra money. But when you're buying packages like this, it won't cost you a dime.
But there's one thing to consider, too.
Yes.
If the travel agency works with the different suppliers, and we work with many of them. If we send enough business to them, they give us incentives for, you know, to give our pass
goodies
on to
that
our
you
clients.
Can pass on to your
goodies
clients.
To eat. And they don't offer that on the internet.
Right.
You know.
So there you go. Or if you're traveling with someone like yourself or my company, you might be going with a group. And
that's
the group
right.
has then been
group pricing better, benefits.
Yeah. And other benefits on board and stuff like that. So those are things
free
that
beverage packages
you can't find from. Yes. Good. Very valid points and things that most travel professionals who are worth their salt should be able to do.
That's
for you.
Right.
You can find a link to Gwen Duncan's Cordially Yours travel agency at travelguysradio.com.
Want to thank our callers earlier that that called in to talk about Uber and Lyft and ride sharing. All fabulous calls. Thank you so much for participating.
We always have good callers.
We do.
Next week, we're going to tell you about Earthships in New Mexico, a new eco lodging, and Clayton Whitehead will be here to report on his trip to Jordan. Dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week.
KBEB HD2 Sacramento. KFBK FM Pollock Pines.